Accession number 13359, Mr. George Richardson, Reel 21.
Mr. G.S. Richardson, Reel 21. You're coming up now to the Falaise Gap situation, Mr. Richardson. And whilst the battalion wasn't involved, what sights were you seeing?
Well, as we drove through, we saw where huge battles involving large American tank forces had gone in against German forces. We saw dead horses pulling guns. We didn't think that the Germans had horse-drawn artillery, but we saw loads of dead horses, mules, all kinds of guns, dead bodies, dead cattle, and for miles on miles there was absolutely terrible burnt ground and burnt out vehicles and tanks. They must have been a hellish battle to have caused such loss to the Germans, but the Americans have apparently had broken through with their big tank forces and had caused this breakthrough, and we went right through this gap, which just became known in history as the Falaise Gap, and we carried on through there and out into more wooded and green country and heading over more or less north of the area of Normandy, more or less over towards near where the First World War actions took place. I remember as we were moving forward fast, heading towards the Belgian border, We went through some of the main places of the First World War, Lille, Arras, past war cemeteries of the First World War. Some of our columns stopped briefly just to look at some of the cemeteries and that of the First World War. We took quite a large city, surrounded it. The Free French were bringing out women and shaving off the hair that had been consorting with Germans. The Free French were evidenced more and more and more all the time now. They were coming out brandishing weapons and waving us through the towns that we were going through. I think it must have been Amiens where we stayed for a couple of nights. It had been one of the places that the 6th Battalion had occupied way back in the First World War.
This advance, which was really quick, at night, where were you sleeping when you pulled in?
Anywhere we could. Houses that were derelict, barns. It was mostly fine weather and under our wagons. We always did what we'd been taught to do, and always dig a slit trench next to where we were sleeping, ready to just bowl into the slit trench if we were being attacked or under air attack.
Were you involved in your duties?
No, not at this time. We were just moving the whole of our headquarters. We were using more or less runners and dispatch riders to keep contact. And we're moving forward in battalion convoy, battalion headquarters, more or less in the middle of the column. Rear company in reserve, always following up the forward company's advance, and the CO would keep sending out runners, or even would run a line out now and again to a forward company just to bring company commanders in to keep them informed of the advance of the rest of the army, the rest of the brigade. And this part of the war, we thought, well, it looks as though we're heading for Germany and we're not going to see much more fighting.
Was the supply still coming through to you quite
efficiently? As a matter of fact, yes. We're getting 14-man packs of rations in. These 14-man packs of rations contain practically everything that you needed, including toilet paper, sweets, cigarettes, tinned foods that were easy to cook, tinned bacon, and all such as that. While we've been advancing through Normandy and into France, our ration supplies were mostly handed out by the quartermaster in 14-man packs. Each pack was enough to keep a man supplied for 24 hours for 14 men. They contained toilet paper, cigarettes, matches, little burners that we could make small fires under our billy cans. They contained foods that were easy to heat up, little blocks of concentrated beef. We just had to add a pint of water into our billy can. They swelled up and made a billy can full of minced beef. We could also forage around the land we were going through for potatoes, turnips, or anything that we could just throw into the pot. And we're more or less cooking for ourselves. Now and again, we would cook. Our main meals would, our main ration packs would be taken by the quartermaster and our colour sergeant, and our company headquarters cooks would now and again make us a main meal at night and then issue us with the rest of the packs to carry on our advance the next day. We were even given good quality bread, full loaves that we cut up with butter and margarine rations that we shared out. We were living quite better on much better rations than we had done in any actions that we'd seen in the desert or even in Sicily, although our rations had improved a lot in Sicily.
How did your burners work? You said you heated with
well,
burners.
Like a block of camphor, highly concentrated fuel that we just put a match to, and it boiled the billy can full of water to make concentrated tea, or even to cook. We could boil our tea, pour that into our pot, put the same billy can on, put some beef in, boil that up, and just share everything out among the groups that we were allocated in the 14-man packs.
Was mail keeping up with you?
It was pretty decent. When we had the chance, we'll keep sending correspondence back, but all had to be read by our officer, signed, and then dispatched back. No postage required, with just mail sent out. And, of course, my mother had a good idea where I was, and she used to keep watching reports, and she knew that the 50th Northumberland Division, she knew I was in that. She knew that we were in action in Normandy, and she was more or less, her and my father were following information that they were getting back of advance.
Do you have still following routine duties like standing to, standing down each morning and evening?
Well, that was training that we'd always had. It was every morning we were more or less up, stand to, look around, and then it was wash, shave, dress as quickly as possible on the wagons and forward again during this kind of warfare. And we advanced fairly quickly through until we came to a large town, and we were coming just to the outskirts of this town when we came across a strong German force. I don't know Galias. I don't know the name of the town. Gila?
Gila?
Gila.
On the Albert Canal.
Yes. We came to this town.
What time of the year would this be?
Well, we're into late July now, I think. Well, we had one or two small dubbies where we met blocks of Germans, and I know our 3-inch mortars, under their command, he was quite good at massing his mortars and laying down stonks a few hundred yards in front, and they're quite heavy. And our 3-inch mortars, I've heard them say that they could have 15 mortar bombs in the air before the first one landed. They were that good and that fast. And it took quite a lot of maintenance to keep the mortar bombs coming up, to keep them in action. And they were doing more heavy action rather than our four troops were doing with rifle and small arms fire. Of course, we're going forward with the whole army now. Tanks were moving forward. And we got more or less to the Belgian border. And we were stopped and rested for a day or two while the whole of the army moved up. Then we were briefed and told that we were going through with our main objectives on the route through were Eindhoven and Nijmegen and Arnhem. Our final objective was on the other side of the Rhine at Arnhem.
Had you reached Geel by this time?
We'd already captured, we'd gone through Brussels, and going through Brussels was a hectic experience. We went through there, and there was absolutely everybody in Brussels were out showering us with flowers, trying to climb onto the wagons, throwing arms around us, kissing us. More women, very few men around, and we just kept on going. But we knew a large town like Brussels, we were going through it without a lot of real resistance. We got right through to the other side. There was large woods over to our left. We came to the other side of Brussels, and we were actually allowed that night to go back into Brussels for a drink and see what we could do in the way of entertainment. Most of the lads did, including myself. And we came back and moved on, and we went forward. The Royal Air Force were flying 1,000 bomber raids over the top of us. Masses of American and Royal Air Force flying all day over. And as we were advancing towards Eindhoven,
Come back to Geel first, because that came before Eindhoven. What's your memory of that rather unpleasant action?
This, very unpleasant. We'd come into this large town thinking that we were just going to overrun it the way we had previous, but we came across a strong German force with tanks right in the middle of the town, Mark V tanks, Tiger tanks. And I jumped out of our wagon and got behind a wall, and 50 yards in front of me was a Tiger tank. All I had was a revolver, and we'd all scattered around. Our mortar platoon started laying down heavy fire, and our troops were slowly surrounding this town. But there was very strong action, and it was really unexpected, and quite a lot of our infantry were killed, mostly by these daredevil tank force, Panzer force that were in this town, and there was quite a lot of casualties.
Were you involved in this in your own signalling duties?
No, we were being advancing, and it had come across us suddenly. We hadn't expected it. We knew we were advancing towards the enemy, but we didn't expect to just bump into them in that state. That was my thoughts of it. And it was an unexpected and really nasty action that took a lot of troops out, whereas if we'd known what was in Gale, we would have taken it as a proper military manoeuvre and surrounded it by a brigade and probably just did the way we did at Bayeux and other towns. But it was an unexpected action, I would say, that the Germans had took us by surprise.
After Gale, again, you'd lost a lot of men. What was the quality of drafts that you're now getting late in the war?
Well, we weren't getting many forward now. We were going forward less and less numbers. There was some coming up from the 10th and 11th battalions, but even those had been battle weary from their actions back in the Normandy area in around the Caen area. And
were you getting men from other units, like the corps, anti-aircraft, or people who weren't
In fact, there was actually some Royal Navy came in their uniforms to join some of our platoons that had been just drafted in to, I suppose, make numbers up. But they were quickly put into, not their own battle dress, but were their dungarees. But I think they only lasted with this for a short while. They'd gone forward, I think, with probably their own officers that had been brought up to help out. We also had quite a lot of Marines that would keep moving forward with the army, because most of their action back at the beach had been over and the Marines didn't have much to do. We even had airborne troops that were landing, and their units were moving forward with us at the same time. So, and we were, a lot of the time, as we were advancing through into Holland, we were a mixed up army. But mostly, our brigade going forward in columns with the Guards Armour on one side and the 7th Armoured Division on the other side. And we were going forward on all the roads available and across country and advancing. When we came to Eindhoven, the bridge had already been captured by Americans, so they welcomed us into, because we relieved them. We went forward from Eindhoven on the road through into Holland and heading towards Nijmegen. We were moving fairly fast and confident that we were going to reach our final objective, because the Germans seemed to be on their own. Over to our left, most of the German army had been slowly being cut off by our forward action. And there was one big action where they actually made a dive to cut through our lines. This action caused a lot of casualties as they rushed through our forward lines.
Was this involving yourself?
No, but we saw it. We could hear it was just in front of us, and they actually ploughed through across. It would probably be a Panzer unit that had made up the mind that they were breaking out rather than be cut off, because the lines that we were taking looked as though all that section of France, Holland and Belgium were going to be cut off. And
were you getting any signalling yourself on stage?
At this point, as we were advancing, when we stayed overnight, we did manage to run one or two lines out along through villages just to keep our forward companies in correspondence. We were still in contact with our radios from front companies back to our battalion headquarters. But I was with battalion headquarters most of the time now. I wasn't sent out to a forward company. I think the signal officer thought that seemed quite a lot of forward action myself as a corporal needed me back at battalion headquarters.
What kind of messages were you receiving back at headquarters from these outlying companies and units?
Well, mostly that the advancing was going according to plan, and any hold-ups, they were be asking for more support, and usually the support was forthcoming very quickly. I think the whole of the 21st Army Group moved forward right way through to the south stem of the Rhine. Quite good. I think most of the German army had retreated to the north side of the Rhine. And I think they knew that our objective was Nijmegen and Arnhem, because they were strongly defended. The bridge at Arnhem was supposed to be blown by the Germans, but it wasn't. There was about 3 days of strong fighting already taking place when we arrived, just at the before the bridge at Nijmegen. There was quite a lot of dead bodies, German and British, strewn about in the area before we came to Nijmegen bridge. Our tanks and our forward troops got over at Nijmegen bridge, and there was about 17 miles to go across flat country, crisscrossed by ditches, canals, dikes, and we never got to Arnhem.
What happened to you then in what was then known as the island, I believe?
That's right. We came into static positions again. When we'd first taken Nijmegen, there was a big railway bridge to our left and the main road bridge across the lower Rhine that we were using. We'd been over on this island, a flat canal country, when the main railway bridge was blown up. The whole centre span just dropped down into the river. We were in front then when this happened. Apparently, a mini sub had come down the Rhine, had planted charges, although we had searchlights shining up and down. Our Royal Engineers were there, and our Royal Engineers quickly built the Bailey Bridge between the main road bridge and this railway bridge. They also run a temporary bridge for walking across where this bridge had dropped the Rhine, so that foot troops could cross over also on the railway bridge. The full brigade were in front of Nijmegen. We had two battalions in front and one battalion back in Nijmegen in reserve all the time. We spent about 10 days in front and 3 or 4 days back in Nijmegen, keep alternating with the 6th Battalion Reserve, 8th Battalion, 9th Battalion in front. 8th Battalion would come back, 6th Battalion move back, 9th Battalion move back, 8th Battalion move back. And leapfrogging each and taking up different positions along this flat countryside. The land between us and Arnhem were patrolled very heavily by our own infantry. We had listening posts out nearly up to the North Rhine. In this area, it was all open farmland, quite a lot of cattle grazing, those that hadn't been killed or bombed with shellfire. There was a large farmhouse that we took for our platoon headquarters, our signal headquarters. We had battalion headquarters in the island when we were in there. We used to have to take field telephones out with listening posts out in front of the forward companies as far as the dare. They would lie there all night. We would reel in the morning, and they would come back to our own lines before daylight.
What was your particular role?
Well, I was back at battalion headquarters with about half of our platoon. The other signalers were out with the companies with manning field telephones. We had lines run out to all our company headquarters. Our wireless sets were out of action. We were told to keep quiet, radio. There was too much radioactivity, and we're quite close to enemy, and we there was no need for wireless telegraphy, so we used field telephones. We also had to take listening posts out in front of the lines, and we had the job of reeling out lines from our signal office out to, as we went out with the signal office and the, sorry, with the platoon office and his platoon that went out to the listening post, we would give them a field telephone, stay with them or leave a signal with them. I would come back with a jeep because we were running out with the jeep driver from the signals, because we were sometimes running maybe 2 miles of cable out. If the cable went dead during the night, then we had to send 2 or 3 men out with field telephones to find a break and keep the communications open. We were doing this most of the time. There was one place out in front that hadn't been manned by anybody. It was a large farm. And every time we were passing it, we were dying to look in to see where it was. And I think about the third time I went out with the line party, on the road back, the jeep driver stopped at the farm, and we went in, and we found half a dozen young pigs running around loose. At one end of the barn, there was a huge stock of potatoes. So we opened the door to the potatoes to let the pigs feed. We closed the barn door to keep the pigs in, and came back and told our signal officer and sergeant that there was some good meat running about, and they were there for a few days. We tried to keep it to ourselves. We didn't want the companies to know about it, because otherwise the pork would have gone to them and not us. So each time we're going out, laying the lines and then reeling them in the morning, passing this farmhouse, we'll keep looking in, and these potato stock was gradually dying down. The pigs were stuffing themselves as fast as they could, and getting fatter. And this was over a few weeks.
Were the Germans giving any problems?
Not a lot. They were sending patrols in over the Rhine. We were sending patrols, and in fact, there was one of our patrols, actually the first British troops to cross the Rhine into Germany when we got up to the other side of Nijmegen. This was reported in the press that the British Army had actually ended 15th Northumberland Division, sent a platoon, and ended Germany proper over the Rhine, because up to then it had been more or less Holland, but this was actually Germany that we were entering. But that was only a patrol that had gone across and come back again. The Germans were doing the same, so we had to be very careful. And any noise, whatever, in front usually brought artillery fire back. But the Germans were on the north side and we were on the south side of the Rhine, but well back.
What were the conditions you were living under?
Very damp. We had nightly room rations because of the damp conditions. Lots of rain. And there were still one or two people who hadn't evacuated their houses, still living on this island. They were unable to afford. We did one or two rummage around to find out whether any of the houses were occupied. We knew which houses were occupied and which were empty. We rummaged in the gardens and got what vegetables we could to cook and make up our 14-man packs, which were being supplied from our BS lawn, and still managing to milk one or two cows. One house I went into, I found a large package of what I took to be custard powder. It was about, must have been a litre of custard powder. I also found a couple of litres of sugar. So I thought, okay, we'll take it back. And I had the idea of making custard for the platoon to just reinforce our supplemental meal. We put a large stew on, and we got a couple of gallons of milk, and I put the milk on the boil. I had no idea how much custard powder to use. Poured the whole lot into a 2 gallon Dixie, mixed it up with some cold milk and all the sugar, about 2 pounds of sugar, stirred it in, poured a couple of gallons of milk over it, and it just absolutely sat solid. So that I was the only one that would eat it, and I was cutting it off by the slice. Soon got fed up with that.